and a wise and discerning heart, that they may discern the Lord's body, that they would give praise and glory to the teacher, the Holy Spirit. We're asking him to reveal all truth to us. We believe that every need of every person will be met spiritually, physically, mentally, and financially, Lord. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. Those things that they had questions about, concerns about, the word of God will shine light on that today. And Father, we thank you for every household that is represented here today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're taking them to another realm of living. And we give you praise and glory because we go from glory to glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you that you mute your phone.
All right. Glory to
God. Everybody mute the phone. Star 6 were muted, I think, if you don't know where your mute button is. Praise God. I just want to welcome each of you again today. Wherever you're calling from, we know we have some in other states. And we do welcome you. Now, what we've been talking about, we want to continue in that vein. Because we believe that that is most important for the body of Christ, that we learn how to discern the Lord's body. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, many are sick, many sleep, because we don't discern the Lord's body. So that was our subject the last time we met together, discerning the Lord's body. And like I said, we will continue in that vein because we need to discern his body that we can receive from him. It's time now to receive. Just put your receivers out and just say, I'm here to receive today all that God has for us. I would hate for us to go to heaven and we would see God had this prepared for us. He had that table prepared for us, and we didn't get all of what God wanted us to receive while we're in this stage of life. We want to be receiver. We want to get all that he has for us. And discerning the Lord's body is going to help us today. Now, my backdrop scripture today is
muted.
2 Corinthians 5:19. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Okay, it reads, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing those trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now in our last study, we were seeing that God was so involved in the crucifixion. When we read it from the gospel, we see that the soldiers and everything didn't know that God was involved on the inside. But Paul here tells us that God was working on the inside while they were working on the outside. And I come to tell you, people of God, that what God was doing on the inside was for you. That what the Roman soldiers was doing on the outside was for them. It wasn't for you. God was working on the inside of Christ, doing what we need to reconcile him back to us, that we may have the relationship we needed with him. Now, for so long we've been on the outside. The church been out there, everybody been out there. And we had a movie that came about Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. He even put the church out there even more outside the body. The church, I mean, just came out that movie just crying because they could see the beatings that the soldiers did. And they said that was for our healing, oh God. He took all those beatings for us. None of that done on the outside was for you. God was working on the inside for you. God is a spiritual God. And he knew working out on the flesh wasn't going to be enough to bring the deliverance that you needed. We needed some serious deliverance. Very serious deliverance. And we know that God was doing everything he needed. He didn't trust the angels with this assignment. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Michael. But he came himself. He came himself to do what only God could do. Because God knew what it took to bring men back to him. Those stripes that they say stripes or beatings or bruises he got on the outside, that was hatred. That was man. They hated him. But God was on the inside because God so loved the world. Paul said here in the 19th verse that he was reconciled not just one or two men, but the world back to him. And so it's time now the church to go on the inside of the body to discern it. See, to discern it on this. It takes some discernment to go on the inside. The soldiers on the outside didn't take no discernment. They could see what was doing. We could see what was going on. But it's time now for the church to go on inside and get what God has provided for you. Get that what God did for you. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, brought us in on the inside. Peter brought us in on the inside. The second chapter. Peter said it was inside his body that he was working for you. What was he doing? Let's read Isaiah 53. Let's go to the fourth verse. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him. We did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. It wasn't his. It was ours. And let me tell you, I'm going to have to go take you back to Genesis. When the first Adam physically, he kept living, but spiritually he died. He came disconnected from God. He went and hid himself. He said, I'm naked. I was clothed with glory of God. I had so much going on. And I allowed the enemy to deceive me or to make me disobedient. And we see there that man just didn't have a physical problem. It showed up on the outside. But the root of the problem was spiritually. That's where the problem was, spiritually. God is a spirit, and he deals with man spiritually. And Adam became disconnected from him spiritually. He died spiritually. So when Jesus went to the cross for you, the natural couldn't have done what God wanted done for you. It was through Adam's sin. All of us, we was in his loins. All of us got into sin from one man's sin. One man's sin. Romans said one man's sin. And then he said, this second Adam, one man, not two or three, but one man. This second Adam, he bore our sins in his spirit, not in his body. Let me tell you, God always deals with the root of the thing. Even when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he cursed it at the root. So it could get rid of the real problem. So he dealt with man's spirit on the cross. He dealt with Jesus' spirit. He laid your sins, your sickness. He laid diabetes on Jesus' spirit, not his body. The Romans was doing a pretty good job on his body, laying things on his body. But Jesus told God, God and Jesus, they were in full communication at the cross. You didn't see him. He's the invisible God. And the soldiers didn't see him. The leaders didn't see him. And Satan said, I thought I had him. Because they couldn't see. Because see, it takes discernment to look on the inside. Church, we're going on the inside so we can get what we need at the table. We must discern the Lord's body. Go on the inside. See what was provided for you. He laid your sickness. He laid diabetes. He laid cancer. Whatever sickness, corona, he laid that on there, on his spirit. Not his flesh. The man didn't have a flesh. Man had a flesh problem, but the root of it was the spirit. And if you don't get a thing from the root, it's going to show its ugly head again. But Jesus took care of this once and for all. God took care of your problem once and for all. He gave you victory. He laid your sin on his spirit. Spirit. This is a spiritual thing. It's not fleshly, but it's spiritually. The world and the church, not knowing, they're trying to, you know, they're just trying to keep you outside, looking at all the bruises he got. Oh, do you see what he got in? Oh my God, that's all. And just keep you crying on the outside. But when you get on the inside, buddy, you're going to rejoice. You're going to shout. You're going to holler, hiya, that he did this in Jesus' spirit. Because God deals with spirit. He goes right to the root of it. Those soldiers couldn't go to the spirit part of Jesus. Jesus, when he was giving up the ghost, he said, Father, I commend my spirit to you. Because the work was done in his spirit. And you may not know it. in our flesh, in our bodies, we can see sickness manifested that way, but the root of it is spiritual. And if you don't deal with it spiritually, you're not fighting flesh and blood. Mm. It's a spirit. So he laid it on Jesus' spirit, and Jesus took it. Yes, it bruised him. Yes, it ripped. Because see, we're talking about somebody that knew no sin, had no sin, took on your sins. He paid the price. The price was great. His life. But I come to tell you, people, you were worth it.
Yes.
He thought you was worth it. Sometimes I hear people, oh, I'm not worthy. But he thought you was worthy enough to die for. To die for. He thought you was worth it. Because it just didn't depend on you alone. He put his spirit, made you anew. Creation, one that never been before. But God did a work in Jesus' spirit. And that's where we're going. We're going on the inside. We're getting those stripes on the inside that was laid for you. They were for you. And if you, Abashaya Sokatiya, you must help me, Holy Ghost, can get a revelation. We're revelatory people. God is giving you some revelation. It's time to feast, people. It's time to come to the table and feast. I know you want a sister to marry. It ain't but two things there. That's the bread. And the wine or the blood, that's just two things. But it's Jesus, and Jesus is all you need. You can feast, you can celebrate behind that, honey. You got a lot going on when you sit at the table and get his life. You get his life. I mean, what a train. I mean, it don't take no rocket scientists to figure out that's good to get his life for our life. You know, I kind of like his life as I read about it. I mean, he could feed 5,000 at the spur of the moment with two fish hooks and five loaves of bread. He could feed 5,000. He could speak to sickness. He could speak to the wind and the wave. What a life. You know, his disciples thought they knew him. But when he did that out on the sea, they said, what kind of man is this? We thought we knew him, but what kind of man is this? He's a God man. What a life. What a life. When he need to pay, when Peter need to pay the taxes, and Jesus need to pay his taxes, he told him, go down to the first fish you catch. Mm-hmm. What a life that can speak to sickness, that can speak to lack, that can speak to darkness. He's trying to give you his life. He has the better life. He has eternal life. And that's what he's doing for you. But this was laid, remember that it was laid on his spirit. The problem was spiritual. Not fleshly. Yes, we have problems in the flesh. Yes, sickness shows up in the flesh. Yes, mentally it shows up in the mind. But the root of it, it's time to cut things off at the root. We done played around with it too long. Thank God for doctors. But they're still in the flesh. They give you things that just say, it may kill you, but take it three times a day. And if it don't kill you, you may become a little bit better. It's not a cure, it's just treating the symptoms. But over in the 103rd Psalm, he said he healed, he said, that's a good benefit. He healed all of our diseases. They're still trying to test out for corona. They said, we don't want to kill nobody. We're trying to find a cure. Corona was tested on the cross. And Isaiah hollered out, "Surely, hallelujah, it's a cure for it. Surely." Peter said, "It's a cure for it. Hallelujah, with no side effects." When you want to deal with the flesh of things, you're going to have a lot of side effects. And they're real honest with you. They tell you it's going to kill you. But when I hear these things on TV, talking about the new treatments and new things, and they say, well, it may kill you, but, you know, and it, you know, going to do this to your liver and going to do this to your heart. And one doctor said, it may fix one thing and may mess up another, you know. But that's not the way Jesus operated. Pain and suffering that he had never endured before. But it was on the spirit. He said, Father, I commend my spirit to you. Because you know, when we come to God and we commend things to him, he fixes it. And I thank God that he didn't place it on his flesh. Because we would still be going for an answer. But for God did at Calvary, completed everything. He let man work on the flesh. Because he knew he was working on the spirit, where the true victory is on the inside. You can't be denied on the inside. That's where the true victory is. That's really discerning what God has done for us. I said, one more person. Oh, my God, my time is way gone. Because we want to do communion. We want to do that celebration. But I want you to, I'm not going to turn to the scripture to even read it, but I'm just going to tell you the story about one lady in the Bible that discerned the Lord's body. Let me back up here. We were in this discussion about discerning the Lord's body, and one man said, no, it's just for us to discern each other. Let me tell you, if I discern anybody on the phone, get how good y'all are, I can find something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not discerning y'all, it's discerning that perfect lamb. We are to behold the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Not just one or two sins, but of the world. Yes, we ought to treat one another nicely and have good table manners. Paul had to deal with some people in Corinthians when they were taking the Lord's Supper. I mean, they were just way out there. They were doing some way out things at the Lord's Supper. Some was getting drunk. Some wouldn't share the food with people that didn't have. Some hated each other. They thought they were better than others. So Paul had to step aside and teach them a lesson. It was no different at the Lord's Supper with Jesus. Jesus had a bad crew there too. They were wondering who was going to be the greatest. Jesus is about to die. Let me tell you, when a person is on near death, they don't have a lot of foolishness. They only leave you with things that are important. Yes. So this meal was important to Jesus. But But he had a bunch of disciples there that didn't quite understand, but he wasn't worried. He said, after the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to teach you. Your boy's going to learn communion. Once the Holy Spirit comes, ain't worried. I'm just releasing it tonight. And they were in such bad shape about strife. Who's going to be the greatest? And so Jesus just took some water, stooped down to wash their feet. Within every student, a wise and discerning heart, that they may discern the Lord's body, that they would give praise and glory to the teacher, the Holy Spirit. We're asking him to reveal all truth to us. We believe that every need of every person will be met spiritually, physically, mentally, and financially, Lord. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. Those things that they had questions about, concerns about, the word of God will shine light on that today. And Father, we thank you for every household that is represented here today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're taking them to another realm of living. And we give you praise and glory. Because we go from glory to glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you that you mute your phone.
All right. Glory.
Everybody mute the phone. Star 6 will mute it, I think, if you don't know where your mute button is. Praise God. I just want to welcome each of you again today.